Today I would like to talk to you. I have a title that's sometimes odd. It's just the Bible, I guess. But the title today is You Don't Know Me from Adam. You know, years ago we ministered along this line, a season of time, but have you ever heard that southern colloquial expression, I didn't know him from Adam? In other words, that means you'd never heard of him, never seen him, had never heard his name. You just said, I don't know him from Adam. Or someone may have looked at you and described you and says, I don't know them from Adam. So today we're going to talk about that. We're going to use that southern colloquial expression and talk about not knowing us from Adam. Why, Pastor Brian? Because since you're now born again, you're not known from Adam.
Amen.
When you walk in a place, the powers of darkness don't know you from Adam anymore. Because now, since you're known of him, your identity has changed.
Yes.
So when you walk in places, the power of darkness bows its knee. Amen. There's things that you can't see with your natural eye happens to you every day. You walk in restaurants, you're driving down the highway, and the powers of darkness that is connected to the curse that's in the earth, it makes sure bad things happen to people. When you come by, they step back and they bow. We might ought to sing that chorus again. Glory to God. And see, it's not on account of you, because it used to have havoc with you. It used to get you every morning, not just one morning, but every morning. The powers of darkness would get you. They would have you confined and frustrate you and aggravate you. And as soon as they found you had yielded a certain thing, they became specialties in your life. But then all of a sudden you got born again. Is that right? Amen. You got born again. And things changed. They changed. And so as we start, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Now, I've got notes that'll go to eternity. But I believe that you folks are going to draw out specifically what needs to be said today. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Corinthians 1 and 19. Boy, that is sweet music to my ears, those Bibles turning. It says, For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, that's Paul and Silas and Timothy, even by me, Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, or yes and no. In other words, sometimes yes and sometimes no. I heard a minister say just the other day that sometimes when you're praying, sometimes God will tell you yes, and sometimes God will tell you no. Well, now, we're going to be very, very polite and kind and nice as we bring this to you. But if you go and ask Father for something, guess what? He is so far ahead of you that he's already done it. He's already completed it. He's already finished it. And he's had it ready for you for an eternity past. So he never says no to you. Unless you're saying, Lord, I know I got a plan. I tell you what, I could prosper and be in health. If I could just go to the bank and rob the bank, glory be to God, I'd be a millionaire instantly. Amen. And matter of fact, he's not going to say no then. That's right. He will not say anything because he has no fellowship with that. That's not even in his conversation. Sometimes you can tell about things the way that he responds. If he don't respond, that means he's not partaking in it. Amen. So this is a powerful scripture. It's a powerful scripture. Paul and Timothy and Silas, they were saying, now when we come preaching to you, this gospel and these promises are not, well, yes one day and no the next, but in Jesus Christ, it's what? It's an always yes. It's always yes. Glory to God. Yes and amen. That is awesome, isn't it? Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, are yes, and in him so be it. Why? Unto the glory of God by us. Every time a promise is received, every time a promise is given and received, it ultimately goes back and gives Father God the praise, honor, and the glory. Amen. How many of you are glad that you can receive those promises here in the earth? That's fun. That's awesome to experience. But guess what a higher level and a higher goal is? It ultimately gives Father God glory, honor, and praise. Why? Because you and I were lost and undone on our way to hell, and God brought a perfect plan to redeem you back to him so that he can ultimately take care of you in every realm of your life. Hallelujah. He said, for in him it's yes and amen unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So God is the one that started this and finished this. He's established you in Christ. He's the one that's made provision for us in every realm. It's God. Hallelujah. And says, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Amen. So God was so big on making sure the promises were so real to us, he gave us earnest. Have you ever bought a house, bought a car, and they said, how much you going to put down? Or how much you going to put up? So earnest money is the money you put on a house or on land or on a car, automobile, or something saying that there's more to come. Where that came from? Earnest will hold that until all the documentation is fulfilled. And then when the covenant is made complete, then there'll be the full supply of it. So the power of God, the Spirit of God, has been called the earnest or the down payment of everything God has for you and me. How many of you got the Holy Ghost? Well, that's the earnest. That's the payment to guarantee you that everything in Christ Jesus is, will, and shall come to you, whatever you need for the glory of God. There's not one thing left out in your life that's not already taken care of. We have to know that it's yes when we need it. It's amen, or so be it unto us. Whatever we need is complete in him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19, it declares, for in him, in Christ, in Jesus Christ, dwells. In him dwells, or it's bundled up in. It's fulfilled in. Everything God has, everything the Godhead bodily represents, it's packaged up in one package, and it's called Jesus Christ. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he just told us that all the promises of God are in him. And in him they're yes and amen. So now if you're in him, that made everything that God has available unto you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now I love that. I don't know if you do. The reason why that we love that is this, is because you and I couldn't get to them. They were outside of our reach. We couldn't get there. But now God has made a way, and he's put everything about the Godhead bodily in Jesus Christ. And when he put everything in Jesus Christ, he put you in Jesus Christ. Amen. So now we're just in Christ and just enjoying the environment of everything is taken care of, giving God glory and honor and praise. Colossians 2 and verse 10, it goes on and says specifically, now you are complete in him. You're complete. You're fulfilled. He is abounded toward you in all wisdom and prudence. He's abounded unto you grace. He's abounded unto you mercies. Amen. And you are complete in what we call Christ Jesus. So let me describe that, because you could be in this room going, well, now, Pastor Brian, you're saying that I am complete in Christ? I'm fulfilled in Christ? Why am I miserable? Yeah. Why am I experiencing pain and suffering and frustration? Just tell me, why in the world do I get mad so often? I'm in the right place today, aren't I? Amen. Or, you know, then the opposite of anger, outburst of anger, is depression. You know, why do I stay depressed? That's not an accusation. I'm giving illustrations so that we can learn. Amen. So if I'm so complete in Christ, then what's going on, Pastor Brian? Well, I'm glad you asked this morning, because there's an answer. He says, for in Him you're complete. You're complete, fulfilled. We have two words here, and to get us through the process of in Christ. And you that are students of this, you've probably heard these expressions before. When it comes to positional places in Christ Jesus, we're all fulfilled and we're all complete. We've been raised from the dead in Christ Jesus. Is that right? Not only have we been raised, but we've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And today in Christ, we're just as healed as He is. Positionally. And when it comes to authority, we can say to mountains just like Jesus Christ can. Positionally, we're in Him and we're complete and we're fulfilled. The second word, called experiential. You could be seated in Christ Jesus on the right hand of Father, seated in Him, and allow the devil just to run over you. So what we experience is what things we're seeing, what things we're feeling, what things we're hearing, and the things that are taking place in our natural realm. So we, the body of Christ, the day that you got born again, then you have to know that you're not born of Adam or known of Adam anymore. So the day that you were born again is the day that you became a student to find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the more you know and understand, the more you can bring your positional revelation into your experiential revelation. You can change all of your natural world based on your positional revelation of in Christ. So a lot of times, Christians, believers, churches, they get together and have prayer meetings, and their prayers are prayed trying to get God to do something for them then, as if He's not big enough to have that figured out already. You see what I'm saying? Oh, God, you got to move. Oh, Lord, if you don't do something, if you don't come through, and He's going, I've got it taken care of. It's fulfilled. It's complete. So what we do is we spend time being a student. The Scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we study not by church creed or doctrine, but we study to find out who we are positionally in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll come to the place positionally that we'll find out that we've been seated with Him, with Christ Jesus, in Him. And when any powers of darkness comes against us, we can talk just like He can. He said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions or any manner of evil. He said, no manner of evil will harm you. Why? Because you're seated in Him. The same power that He has, He's given you delegated power so that you can speak to your situations and circumstances. Now, if I don't know that, and if I don't have revelation of that, then I'll think that everything happens on Monday morning is just God's will. See, I'll just think, well, another rough day. I don't know what the Lord's doing. No, He's already told us your day is complete and it's fulfilled. Amen. You're blessed and not cursed. You're the head and not the tail. Amen. So He's telling us, find out who you are in Jesus Christ, walk like he walks, talk like he talks, do what he would do. It's not haughty or arrogant. It's humility. Amen. Humility and the fear of the Lord brings forth great power and greatness in your life. So when things start bundling up against you in your day, stand back and do what the Son of God says. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, but shall not doubt those things which he saith in his heart, he shall have whatever he says. Now see, that's not because of you, that's because of in him. Amen. That's because of in him. So let's talk about this. Have you ever been on a softball team, baseball team, basketball team, a labor team, or some kind of team? This is the same illustration here, that there's people that are playing on the team and there's people that are on the bench. Is that right? Have you ever played on a team? Raise your hand. Have you ever been on the bench? I've been on both. How many of you know you don't go and practice and work hard day in and day out to sit on the bench? I mean, that is not fun, y'all. Come on now. Now, I'm honorable. I mean, man, those folk, they beat me out of that position. They're just better than I was. I mean, humility, sit on the bench. But work harder and make the game next time. Going to the game and sitting on the bench, listen, y'all, oh my goodness, I'd rather chew rocks. You know, I'm for the team and all that, but it's like, let me play. So if we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus, it's like sitting on the bench. Nobody wants to sit on the bench. So we want to be active. We want to be operating this kingdom, being in him. So today, let's talk about, first of all, you need to know who you are. You need to know who you are. Then you need to know who you're not. You need to know without a shadow of a doubt who you are in God, in Christ. And then you need to know who you're not. Because if you don't know these two, you'll answer to anything. Well, don't you know everybody's experiencing famine and lack? Well, that's an everybody. I'm not going to fit into the everybody category. I only fit into one group, one unit, and that's Jesus Christ. How many know Jesus never suffered any lack? He had fullness of supply. Only when he had lack of something is because he was doing that for you so that you could be raised in full supply. Go to the Gospel of John. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John chapter 1. You got to know who you are. John 1 and 19, we'll read this. This is talking about John the Baptist. Have you ever read after and studied John the Baptist? He knew who he was. And knowing who he was able to do what he did. If he hadn't known who he was, he'd just been another spectator around town. What's going on? What's happening? What's taking place? John 1:19 says this, and this is the record, or this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who in the world are you? Who are you? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Why? Because they were expecting someone to come up and ruin their government. They thought he was coming in to cause an uproar against the government and destroy Rome. They weren't looking for him as the anointed one and his anointing. They were looking for the one that was going to come against the Roman government. And so he says, I am not the Christ. And then they ask him, well, what then? Are you Elijah? He says, I am not. Are you a prophet? He said, no. In other words, he was, but he's not going to be self-appointed. Are you a prophet? No. Then he said unto them, who art thou? That we may give an answer to the ones that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Elijah. So John the Baptist, he's someone that we read about, that we study about, we hear about. But how did John the Baptist become John the Baptist? How did he know who he was? There's a lot of people that come to earth and say, well, I'm Jesus. Well, that's the spirit of the Antichrist, because there's only one Jesus. Amen. But then how did he know that he was the one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord"? Because he read in the scriptures and the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, what we read today, he read the parchments and found out, as he was reading and studying after the golden prophet Isaiah, he found out. He said, "I'm the one. That's me. That's me. I'm reading about me." Isaiah prophesied about a man that's going to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And his love and his praise and his honor to God and his heart for studying the scriptures of the prophets of old, while he was reading, it dawned on him. He said, "That's me." So finding out who he was then gave him authorization to do what he did. Now that law will help everyone in here. If you find out who you are in Jesus Christ, then that'll give you legal, rightful terms for you to go and do what you do in this earth. Now, isn't that good news today? A lot of times if we're in this life and we're just getting, you know, taken out by every storm and everything's going on, and sometimes we'll even say, "Well, I don't know what to do." We do. But if we know who we are in Christ and we find ourselves in the scriptures, then we will know what to do whatever comes up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Let's look at Jesus. Praise the Lord. How many of you know that Jesus knew who he was? Now, how in the world did he know who he was? Well, now, Brother Brian, that's Jesus. Well, the scripture says that he grew in wisdom and in stature. When Jesus was an infant, he said, "Mama, Dad, Dad." He didn't know he was the Son of God. He found out. How did he find out? Well, let's find out. Luke 4 and verse 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and it was his custom. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" So think about this. They handed him the parchment, they handed him the scriptures, and he found where it was written from the golden prophet Isaiah about what was going to happen to him. Amen. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. Now in the synagogue there was a seat up in front that was established that the coming Messiah, when he came, he would sit in that seat. And the whole synagogue was shocked when this man came in and read this scripture of the golden prophet Isaiah, handed the book back to him, and then he walked over toward the seat. And they were going, "He's going to sit in the seat. Somebody stop him. That's the Messiah's seat." And he kept walking bold. Amen. And he took a seat. Hallelujah. Signifying, "I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one and his anointing." Glory to God. I believe he come in here and got seated down. Amen. Seated down. Praise the Lord. Woo, I felt him come in and have a seat. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So when he read that scripture, he found it. He found it in the scriptures how the Spirit of the Lord would be upon him. Now, this is a man, 100% man, and he's 100% God all at the same time. But he found out his mission. He found out what he was doing. He found out he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, studying the Old Testament scriptures. He found out who he was by being a student of the Word of the living God. Let's keep reading. He closed the book, verse 20, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then they said something unto him that's very, very strange and unusual in our aspect. Why? Because we're thinking the Messiah just showed up. The glory of God is touching the earth right now. But all of those in the synagogue, what was the next phrase that they said unto him? "Is not this Joseph's son?" Here is a pattern. Here is a pattern that'll happen to you. You and I, we must find out who we are in God, in Christ, through and by the Word of God. The same way that Jesus found out who he was, you and I will find out who we are. The same way that John the Baptist found out who he was, you and I will find out the same thing. Come on, somebody. The same thing that happened to Jesus and John the Baptist will happen to you. As soon as you find out who you are in Christ Jesus, somebody will come along and tell you, "No, you're just Wanda. I was raised up with you. I know you. I've known you all my life." Yeah. The same thing that happened to you happened to Jesus. Come on, somebody. So as soon as you find out something great in God or in Christ, someone, something will come and remind you of who you used to be. You used to be identified in Adam. Glory to God. So they were trying to identify him just as a man. You can't do all this stuff. You build tables for a living. The same aspect is on you. You can't do this. I know you. I was raised up with you. Well, they're trying to identify you with your past life and with Adam. Everybody say Adam. So connected to Adam is all the bad things. You were lost in Adam. You were undone in Adam. You were powerless in Adam. The curse of the earth was on Adam. Amen. You were experiencing all those things. But how many of you know in Christ Jesus, you experienced the other side? Glory to God. You experienced the blessing. You experienced power. You experienced grace. You experienced mercy. So here, the very thing, as soon as he come out of his mouth, he declared who he was. They tried to bring him back down to man and identify him as just a man. You and I, when we find out who we are in God, people, mankind, and the power of darkness will try to keep you identified as a man, powerless, hopeless, no strength, no ability. But rise up above that. Enjoy the power and the glory and the grace of God in your life. Amen. Glory to God. So Jesus found himself in the Word of God, and so did John the Baptist. You and I will have to find ourselves in the Word of God. You'll have to find yourself in the Word of God. When you and I realize who we are in Christ Jesus, then whatever has been chasing us in the past, we'll be chasing it. Certain things runs in family. Now, what do you mean runs in families? Well, there's, you know, sickness that you'll find a certain family that they have a particular sickness, and it runs them. Some families, it's just poverty. Poverty hangs on them like, excuse me, tar and feather. Is that right? But when we find out who we are in Jesus Christ, we can start sending that stuff back. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that's shouting ground right there. Amen. So see, when we get born again, that's our eternal study, is finding out now who we are in Jesus Christ. Beginning to bring the positional into the experiential. Amen. Everybody in this room, we have what is known as a BC. Now, I'm BC because I'm Brian Colbert. But all of you All of you in this room have a B.C. also. That means before Christ. And it's the adversary that'll try to remind you of your life before Christ. But you know, the world famous balanced scripture in this room right here that's in your heart so big and strong because of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, Romans 8:1. There's what? Oh, that's music to my ears. I'm glad that's in your heart. Because there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. He took that curse out of you. And everything is trying to make that curse come to pass in your life, He killed it. Amen. He took the power and made it powerless in your life. When someone comes up to you and says, well, you know, you'll be sick just like the rest of them. There's no power in that. When the witch doctors start to try to put spells on you, guess what? There's no spell anymore. We've had that happen. People try to cast spells on us. But you know what? Here's the deal about that. When someone tries to cast spell on you by the spirit of Antichrist, guess what? Now they can cast a spell on someone of their own, and they have no power except to receive it. But a body of Christ, a person that's in Jesus Christ, let them cast a spell. Because when it comes to you, it'll go and bounce off of you and go right back where it came from. And the curse that they curse with will come on them. You can't curse a blessed person, but you can't bless a cursed person. See, you don't have that power. The blessing is in Him. So we run into Him, glory to God, where the power and where the attorney is. Go again. Let's see. The Gospel of John. Let me paraphrase this. The Scripture tells us that when Jesus was calling His disciples, y'all remember that? I believe it's verse 42 there, that Jesus called Simon. How many remember Simon? He said, Simon, He said, I'm going to change your name. After He called him unto Him, He said, your name is Simon, which means or represents a shaking reed. But after He called him to Him, He said, I'm going to change your name from Simon, and you're going to be Cephas, or Peter, so to speak, which means a stone or a rock. Before we come to Jesus Christ, we're all shaking reeds. We're all just tossed to and fro. By every wind of doctrine, we're tossed to and fro by the curse that's in this earth. But when we're brought to Jesus Christ, we become a stone. We just got through singing it earlier. He said, whosoever shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord and do or keep His words, he'll be like a man that founds his house upon a rock. And the winds and the storms of life can beat vehemently against that house. But He said, if we're founded upon the rock, then that house will not fall. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm not just a shaking reed anymore in this life. Now I know who I am in Christ Jesus, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now I can do all things. How? Through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. Amen. I am more than a conqueror. What does more than a conqueror mean? That means someone went out and conquered, glory to God. They did the work, and then they brought the spoil and the completeness of it back and gave to me. Amen. I didn't have to fight it out. I didn't have to win the battle. That makes me more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. So all these blessings and all this power and all this ability, it'll only be mine, even though it is positionally, if I don't study and find out what belongs to me. So when we come to identification, you must not allow your mind to identify yourself in Adam. Because if you do, you'll continue to say, well, I'm just a worm. I'm just a dog. I'm no good. I'm unworthy, and I'm unfaithful, and I can't get it to happen. And if that mindset is there, we'll bypass the experiential side of who we are in Christ Jesus. the Scripture says, Romans 12, 1 through 3, that we renew our mind. We renew our mind to what? Not the image of our old self, but renew our minds to the image of our new self, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we will not answer when the doctor says, well, you have this, and you're going to get this, and this is what's going to happen to you. Now, we're honorable, and we're not disrespectful. We went to the doctor, so we need to hear what he said. But when he calls you sick, you got to know who you are. You say, I'm not sick. I'm in Christ. I'm healed. See, you got to know who you are. You got to know who you're not. See, we can't do this in our own strength. Can't do it in our own ability. But we can do it all through him who strengthens us. Praise the Lord. That's a good word today, isn't it? He said, Simon, you're a shaking reed. It's connected to the death of this world, the curse that's in the earth, and no hope. It's connected to Adam. But when he called him unto himself, he said, I'm going to make you Cephas, which is like a stone. Now, in Christ Jesus, we have a brand new identification. This is very familiar to most, but I want to go through these rudimentary, elementary, fundamental, foundational scriptures. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll get some detail here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. How many of you know this verse? This is one of the great change scriptures in your mind. It says this, are you there? Therefore, if any man, everybody say any man, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now the King James says creature. One translation says a brand new creation. Now think about it. I know you've heard it. You're not just a fixed creature. You were broke in times past, and that means broken in times past, and now you're just mended. No, he said if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation means one that has not existed before. One that has not existed before. Somebody said, now that's hard to understand. That's why Paul wrote a whole book with prayers in it, so your spiritual aptitude could come up to the high rank and high level of the way God thinks. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now let's read on and see what stays and what's going. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are what? Your old life, your old habits, your old identification took off. Now, behold, all things are become new. You're a new man. Pastor Brown, that's impossible. It sure is. It sure is. It's impossible. But the wonderful news is God says, the things that are impossible for man, they're possible for God. Hallelujah. How do you get in Christ? Or how does this supernatural thing happen? The Scripture says over there in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, I believe it is, it says, for by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. Baptized, put into, identified into one body, and that's Jesus Christ. It took a supernatural divine thing of God for him to take you out of Adam and put you over here into Jesus Christ. He didn't just drag you in here, oh, wore out, ugly, sin-filled, sin-sick thing, and stuck you in Jesus Christ. No, the day that you believed in the power and the plan that God had with Jesus Christ, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and believe what he did for you, the Scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, the Holy Ghost said, whoever's identified in Christ, the Spirit of God puts you in there supernaturally. He didn't put you in there sin sick. On your way over to Jesus Christ, you were born again. Hallelujah. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He didn't put the pressure on you to get born again. He just said, believe in me. Whosoever believeth, God loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. So here you come, a rank sinner in Adam, and you said, Jesus, I believe in what you did. I believe in my heart, and I say, Jesus, you are my Lord, and you are my Savior. Hallelujah. So here comes the Holy Ghost. The scripture says the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness moved over the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light, and the Holy Ghost made light. Amen. Your life was without form, it was void, and darkness hovered over the deep inside, and you said, Jesus, you are my Savior. Glory to God. And then all of a sudden, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Holy Ghost recreated you, amen, made you one that never existed before. All your past, all your present, all your future mishaps, shortcomings and failures and sins, he cleansed that and recreated you. And how and what picture and what image did he have to go by when he recreated you? He didn't just make a new day. He made one just like the spirit and image of Jesus himself, amen. Ooh, glory to God. You're looking better already this morning while I'm preaching. I feel the volume coming up here, but I just can't help it. Amen. It's God in me now. It's not Brian washed up and shined up and, you know, got a suit on. No, I came to Jesus and the Holy Ghost, the divine, the supernatural ability of God recreated me on the inside. Hallelujah. Made me to where I can house God himself. Glory to God. Therefore, said all that for therefore. Therefore, if any man, that means a woman. Galatians says, now in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Amen. We've been all made to drink into and out of one spirit. There's not an African American and an Asian and a Caucasian. No, we're all one in Jesus Christ. Ooh, that's shouting ground, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? Doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were raised on, if you're in Christ, you get the same benefits. Doesn't matter what your parents told you all your life, if you're in Christ Jesus, you get the same benefits. Oh, glory be to God. That's what you call joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. So, we're trying to read here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Your old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, or this is the way it works, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing or holding against them their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. We come in his stead. We're now his representative. He's in us. We're in him. Whatever he would say to you, we're saying to you. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now think about that. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Pastor Brian, now how far of a new creation am I? It's all about identification. If we can find out in the scriptures how far Jesus was identified with us, then we can exactly turn around and say, that's how far I can be identified with him. So verse 21 says that Jesus was made. That word made, M-A-D-E, is one single, singular act of God. God made Jesus at one time, one act, one thing. He made him sin. Made him sin. So if Jesus, by supernatural divine impartation, was put on and put in sin, yet he knew no sin, therefore I have a right to go to the same reciprocal. If he was made sin, now God has a right to make me righteous, to make me one singular act, one deposit. See, Jesus wasn't made sin because, you know, on the 34th day of him fulfilling the law, he missed it. See, he wasn't made sin because he missed it. He perfected everything in the law. He perfected every sacrifice. He fulfilled every feast, every holy day. He did things all well, all perfect. Jesus was not made sin to take your place because he sinned. Jesus was perfect. So when Jesus was made sin, you remember the scriptures that Jesus took your sin on the cross of Calvary? That's your new family tree. But then when Jesus finished the death of the cross, what did he say? It is finished. What was finished? Everything that man could not finish in the natural and could not complete it, Jesus finished it, fulfilled it, and made it perfect. Glory to God. Then right before he gave up the ghost, what did he say? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? My. I feel him sitting down again. Amen. So why did he say that? Was he making a joke? Was he lying? No. Father God forsook him. He did. The sinless, spotless Son of God had no sin, neither was there guile in his mouth. He was made sin. At that moment, before he went into the heart of the earth, Father God, in his divine supernatural redemption plan, he took sin and he put it in Jesus Christ. At that moment, he was separated from Father God. At that moment, he was spiritually depleted. He took the same position that the first Adam did when he fell short of the glory of God. When Jesus went into the heart of the earth, he went there as an unrighteous man. He wasn't unrighteous, but he went there as one. Why? Because God made him that way. He made him that way. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, I know it's sad. I know we can get emotional. We can get so sad and down about it. And then we can get to shouting about it. But it's true either way we look at it. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, he just fulfilled under the Old Testament covenant that the priest would lay hands on the scapegoat. And when the scapegoat was turned loose in the wilderness, he bore the sins of Israel. Can I get a witness in the house? When Jesus said that, he began to bore not the sins of Israel, but he bore the sins of all mankind. He was made sin. Is that right? And he was made sin, and Satan thought he killed the Lord's Son. He thought he had killed the Redeemer of man. Come on now. But when he, on the third day, Father God said, the penalty is paid, and Jesus took authority over death, over hell and the grave, and the devil said, uh-oh, what have I done? Father God says there is a righteous man in hell. Hallelujah. And he was raised from the dead on the third day. Glory to God. And God, in his righteous legal terms, since God made Jesus unrighteousness and God made Jesus sin, and he was a righteous, holy, pure man, then now, since Jesus is raised from the dead, he has a right to make you the righteousness of God. Amen. You don't have to keep a bunch of rules and regulations. God says, I got you, Satan. I got you, curse. And I got you, Adam. He said, I have a right that when Mikey says, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to make you the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I'm going to make you. Amen. Hallelujah. Make you. Amen. I'm going to make you, create you, make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Whoo, my. Hallelujah. I've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Is that right? Now, I'm identified in Christ. My identity is in Christ. I'm identified with Him. Father God looks at me in Him. When He went into the heart of the earth, I was in Him. When He was raised, I was in Him. When He was seated, I was seated. I'm just as healed as Jesus is healed. I'm just as blessed as Jesus is blessed. That's unfair now. That's unfair now. Well, listen, the reason why it seems unfair is we're not experientially. I'm not. You're not. We're all not experiencing what we have positionally. So that's why we're teaching, so that we can rise up with our thinking. I was in a meeting one time. It bears record. You've heard this over and over and over, but it'll bless you. It'll encourage you. It'll strengthen you. I was in a meeting, and the man of God was preaching, ministering about the blessings of the Lord. And I just noticed something. The Spirit of God dealt with me and ministered to me while He's preaching. He was talking about so much abundance. He's talking about the overflow. He was talking about, I have what I say concerning the realm of finances. And while He was preaching, the Holy Ghost had to remind me that my mind went bankrupt. While He was preaching, telling me all these blessings that I have and all the command and authority that I have over finances and over this world and the world system, my mind went bankrupt. I couldn't see it. I wasn't thinking that high yet. I needed to go home and get in the book. I had to get in the book and start thinking a higher level. Had to think on the positional level that I already had instead of my experience. It's not, well, my bank account's empty and it'll probably be empty, and when the Lord comes back, all He considers is just a humble heart, not a bank account. Well, guess what? He don't mind you having a bank account. Not a bit. I said, not a bit. Now we have a new identity, and the new identity is in Jesus Christ. We're not known of Adam anymore. He said, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation, a new creature. So you don't know me from Adam. I don't know you from Adam. You're now known from Christ. Now see, in Matthew chapter 3, for the sake of time, I'll paraphrase this. Matthew chapter 3, beginning verse 13, you remember that Jesus was baptized. Now, Jesus wasn't baptized because He had sin. Jesus wasn't baptized because He was dirty and in need cleansing. You remember He looked at John the Baptist. That's on TV, a special that's going on now. Secular world's putting out a Jesus Bible movie. Amen. Whole world's looking at it. But Jesus came to John the Baptist. He said, John baptized me. He said, uh-uh. Oh, you baptized me. No, to fulfill all righteousness, you baptized me. And He baptized Jesus. And why did He baptize Him? He didn't baptize Him because of church creed, because church creed says that cleanses all your sins when you're baptized. That's not true. The Scripture says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Repent and be baptized because our sins have been remitted. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. Buried with Him in baptism, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. So why in the world was Jesus baptized? Because He had to be identified with you. And the level and the manner and the degree that He was identified with you is the level and the degree and the manner that you can be identified with Him. Oh, glory be to God. So when John dipped Him in the water and raised Him up, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Him. And the voice of Father said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And from that moment on, by the anointing, Jesus went forth to fulfill all the law. All the prophets fulfilled everything that man could not fulfill. But He did not do it for Jesus. He was identified for you. He left. He set aside His identity as deity. He set that aside as being identified as the Son of God, the Creator of the universe. And He identified with Josh. He said, come on, Josh, you and I are going to fulfill and complete the law of Moses. And Josh is just going, whoa, wow, man, how'd you do that? Oh, my goodness. Come here, let me show you this. And then what? Jesus is fulfilling this law that we couldn't fulfill. Amen. That's when he said, "It is finished." Then the penalty of death, hell, and the grave was upon all of us. He went and completed that. Come on, somebody. Yes. Amen. He was doing that for you, not himself. He was doing that for Father God, not himself. Yes. That's why it's easy to explain that when Jesus was raised from the dead, we're now counted as raised from the dead when we believe what the Father is doing for us. Amen. Galatians 3:26 says, if you're being baptized into Christ, you're identified with Him as a son of the living God. Ephesians 4:24 says, now you, brethren, are created in righteousness and what? True holiness. How many know we talked about holiness just the other day? Have you ever heard someone tell you, said, you got to be holy, brother, to go to heaven? Have you ever heard someone tell you that? Oh, yeah, guess what? You got a verse. He created you in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. True holiness. Colossians 1:12 says, thanks be to God. Why? Why? He has made us fit. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm fit for the King. Amen. Now, how did he do it? The same way that he made Jesus the curse and unrighteousness and sin, he made you the righteousness of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'll give you a good verse there. Let's see. If ushers will turn on a little air there. Praise the Lord. We got some fans going on. It is a little warm up here. I tell you what, let's start reading in Hebrews 12:18. Hebrews 12:18. Hebrews 12:18. For ye are not come into the mount that might be touched and that burn with fire, nor into darkness, blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, a voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, the Mount Sinai. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched this mountain, it would be stoned or thrust through with the darts. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and shake. But ye, brethren, But ye, in this new covenant, new testament, but ye are come into the Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, into an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. Watch his next phrase. And to the spirit of just men made perfect. Don't run, just sit there. Praise the Lord. Don't shout, just hold it. Amen. The spirits of just men, now they're made perfect. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. I am on the inside just as perfect as Jesus is perfect. Oh, that's something, isn't it? The spirits of just men, they're made perfect. Romans chapter 5, and let's look at verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Now you see and understand that the rest of eternity, we will be students of who we are in Christ Jesus, finding out all the wonderful greatness and awesome things that He has for us in Him. Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. One man. How many of you know that's Adam? Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death came by and through that sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, I want you to highlight that word passed. Transferred is a word that would go good there. Death passed upon all men. Why? Because of Adam. One man brought sin and death unto all men. Do you see that? Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sin. The picture that Paul is painting here is the perfect wisdom of Almighty God. Because when Adam sinned, now death is imputed or transferred to mankind just through his lineage. Through Adam and his sin, death passed on all mankind. It says, nevertheless, death reigned or had authority or ruled in the time period of Adam to Moses over all them that even had not sinned. Death and sin, the penalty of sin, was transferred to many that hadn't even sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come. Father God, he saw in his sovereign, wonderful, awesome wisdom, he said, now since sin is transferred to every man, woman, boy, or girl by the transgression and the disobedience of Adam, he says, I'll show him as a figure of the one that's going to come. Every man, woman, boy, or girl was partaking of Adam's sin and disobedience. And he said, it's going to be a figure of the one to come. Hallelujah. I feel him taking a seat in this room. Glory to God. Now, why did he do that? Because death passed unto everyone under Adam. He said, that's going to be a figure, or that's the way it's going to be when Jesus comes. But it's going to be the opposite, reciprocal of that. For I don't have 1 ounce of good in me. No righteousness. No, not one. There is none good, the scripture says. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's going to be after the similitude of Adam, and it's going to be as a figure of Adam, the same way that sin fell on all mankind that didn't even sin. Now the righteousness of God is going to come in the same figure and in the same flow, amen. Jesus, the righteous one, God has a right now to make anybody that'll come to him and say, I believe it. He will make you in the same figure that Adam made sinners. Jesus will make righteous. Same figure. He says, who is the figure of him that is to come, but not as the offense. Well, Pastor Ryan, you said it was going to be like it. But yes, but watch this. Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, it's not going to be like the first offense. It says, much more. Hallelujah. Oh, how many of you know there's a power and there's a grip of sin? And the law had power and strength. Is that right? I mean, someone do wrong and it would just nail their hide to the barn. But he said it won't be like the offense. He said one made many to become dead, but much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man. Who is that? Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. Amen. There's not a word in the English or the Greek to get this word abounded. But the only way I can describe it is super abundantly, far super abounded, far past the penalty and the power of death to be transferred to man. This life that can be transferred is super abundant, far beyond. Hallelujah. See, when you were born in the natural world, when you were born from your womb of your mother, you had no idea. You were sinless. You were spotless, but that transferred unto you. Amen. You were a rightful heir of Adam. And someone walk up to you and said, no wonder you're cussing, drinking, and smoking. Amen. You're an heir to Adam. Is that right? But now you're not known of Adam. You don't know me from Adam. I don't know you from Adam. We're known from Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're a rightful heir of Jesus Christ. We can receive the righteousness of God, His power, His ability, His resurrection, His goodness, His faith. Guess what? He said, now since you have the Spirit of Christ, you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. You got all these things in you. Why? Because Jesus is in you. Amen. You're in Jesus and He's in you. Pastor Brian, why'd I keep getting mad? Well, you're using your experiential and you're letting people frustrate you instead of sitting in your positional and laugh at the calamity of those trying to frustrate you. So he says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, and his name is Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience one or many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, you and I, according to the Scriptures, we are reminded that we are not identified in and by Adam. We are not known of Adam. You're not known of Adam. I'm not known of Adam. So therefore, we must intensify our study and our thought process and redirect who we are in our thoughts to develop the mindset of our positional bearings in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.